chip as a 16-year-old under the tutelage of Brian Gray.
Teenage prodigy, done good.
Yeah, and Brian Gray's two sons, Aaron Gray and Brock Gray, making their way in rugby league as well. Laurie Daly, legend of the game, up next.
Arthur Stevens, Ireland voted by landslide to legalise abortion in a stunning outcome that marks a dramatic defeat for the Catholic Church's one-time domination of the Republic. The Irish electorate voted in favour of abolishing a controversial constitutional amendment that gave equal legal status to the lives of a fetus and the woman carrying it. The result was a two-thirds majority. By voting yes in unexpectedly large numbers to abolish the Eighth Amendment to the Irish Constitution, the country's enabled the government in Dublin to introduce abortion in Ireland's health service up to 12 weeks into pregnancy. Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar says it's time to end the shame.
No more lonely journeys across the Irish Sea. No more stigma as the veil of secrecy is lifted. And no more isolation as the burden of shame is gone.
Environment groups are up in arms over a proposal by the New South Wales State Government to hand out new water licences to irrigators in the Murray-Darling Basin. The ABC says the plan would formalise a long-standing practice where irrigators have been drawing water from floodplains instead of rivers, circumventing the caps on the system. Emma Carmody from the New South Wales Environmental Defenders Office has told the national broadcaster the plan isn't sustainable and not consistent with the Federal Water Act.
Now, putting aside the possible consequences for the environment and speaking exclusively as a lawyer, I'm very alarmed because what it suggests to me is a disregard bordering on contempt for the rule of law.
Prisoners in New South Wales will be banned from possessing images and videos of terrorism under a law change reportedly prompted by material found in the cell of notorious gang leader Bassam Hamzy. Previously, inmates could access such material if it formed part of the case against them. However, according to the Sunday Telegraph, the government's been forced to act after Hamzy, who's serving a murder sentence at Goulburn Supermax, was found in possession of a flash drive containing Islamic State material. A Brisbane teenager is recovering in hospital after being critically injured earlier this week on a high ropes course during a school camp. 14-year-old Connor Pedersen remains in the Lady Solendo Children's Hospital after injuring his face and neck in the accident at Stanmore, north of Brisbane, last Wednesday. Yesterday, his school, Marist College Ashgrove, announced Connor had been given a medical all-clear after undergoing an MRI on Friday night. Overseas, South Korean President Moon Jae-in has held a surprise meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. In an effort to ensure a high-stakes summit between Kim and US President Donald Trump takes place. The meeting was the latest dramatic turn in a week of diplomatic flip-flops surrounding the prospects for an unprecedented summit between the US and North Korea, and the strongest sign yet that the two Korean leaders are trying to keep the on-again, off-again summit on track. US President Trump, meanwhile, has been slammed for trying to run the American presidency like a business. James Fay served under former President Barack Obama and says it's the wrong way to go about it.
In fact, they're making this up as they go along. For the most part, it's an incredibly dangerous way to operate foreign policy. For the entirety of his life, President Trump has been able to disregard the advice of his advisors, his competitors in business, and whomever else he was going up against, and go with his gut. And he's brought that exact same methodology to the presidency.
Finally, astronaut Alan Bean, who piloted the lunar module in the Apollo 12 mission and became the fourth man to walk on the moon, has died at the age of 86. This is Air News. Motorsport, and Australian Daniel Ricciardo has dominated every stage of qualifying to put Red Bull on pole position for Formula One Showcase Monaco Grand Prix in track record time. Ferrari Sebastian Vettel, last year's race winner in a Ferrari 1-2, joined his former Red Bull teammate on the front row with World Championship leader Lewis Hamilton, third for Mercedes. Tennis, and Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova has battled past the determined Dominika Sibulkova to win the Strasbourg International with a 6-7, 7-6, 7-6 victory in the final. Victory ensures Pavlyuchenkova heads to the French Open full of confidence, but the world number 31 was made to work hard by Sibulkova before she came through in 3 hours, 35 minutes to claim her 12th WTA title. James Tedesco sent Brett Fidler a reminder of his prowess at the back as he and Latrell Mitchell scored in the Sydney Roosters' 34-14 win over Gold Coast. With Fidler announcing his first New South Wales State of Origin squad tomorrow, Tedesco was back to his best at Central Coast Stadium as the Roosters came from 14-6 down at the break. Other winners yesterday, Penrith and Souths. AFL and Essendon recruit Devon Smith enjoyed a happy homecoming at Spotless Stadium, starring in a 35-point victory. They handed his former side, Greater Western Sydney, their fourth straight loss, 14-11, 95 to 8-12, 60. Yesterday's other winners, Richmond, Geelong and Sydney. In football news, from Real Madrid, the European champions for the third year in a row, beating Liverpool 3-1 this morning in Kiev. And in the other important match, Fulham beat Aston Villa 1-0 in the Championship playoff final. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeBortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The world's most famous chef, Gordon Ramsay, is coming to MasterChef. It will be the most terrifying or inspiring week ever. MasterChef Gordon Ramsay Week starts 7:30 tonight on Channel 10. In St. Peter's, two northbound lanes are closed on Prince's Highway at Canal Road due to an earlier building fire. In French's Forest, we've got changed traffic conditions at the intersections of Wakehurst Parkway, Hilmer Street and Forest Way due to roadworks. And in St. Ives, a hazard reduction burn is affecting driving conditions around Mona Vale Road between Richmond and Conway Avenues. Don't miss the Hot Rod and Custom Auto Expo this weekend with hot rods, drag cars, customs, lowriders, bombs, stunts, auctions and more. Details at hotrodandcustom.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
The finest race fillies and broodmares the Southern Hemisphere has to offer. The Magic Millions National Broodmare Sale, May 29 to June 1. World-class bloodlines and more than 210 black-type fillies and mares. Quality broodmares in fold to Australasia's leading sires from the sale that sold the dams of Estijar, Trapeze Artists, Shoals and World Champion Winks. See the catalogue at magicmillions.com.au. The Magic Millions National Broodmare Sale. The future is here.
Hey, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Another quick success story about radio. A brand manager needed to promote a new source, a yummy new source.
Yum!
She knew that, on average, Australians listen to the radio for 2 hours and 10 minutes each day. So she ran a tasty radio ad telling everyone how
yum!
Her new brand of was. People heard the ads in there. They heard them in the... And while they made...
Dinner!
Soon the
yum!
New brand of was on...
Dinner!
Tables everywhere. All thanks to radio. Alive with listeners, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny, areas of smoke haze, patchy morning fog in the west, light winds, maximum of 22 degrees for Sydney Town on a mostly sunny day with 5% chance of rain. Raymond, what about at Greystanes right now? And of course, they're racing at Goulburn today as well.
Greystanes, cool start to the day, James, just 11 degrees. They are heading for 22 degrees at Greystanes. Goulburn, only 4 degrees at the moment, warms up to a partly cloudy day, and 18 degrees at Goulburn.
From their own line, full-time siren sounds, winner's time for Thurston, and Thurston has lost the ball back, and Tafusi scores for Melbourne. Maybe the bunker will say no try. Oh, hang on, he does knock on. North Queensland lose by a point at home.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the final hour of the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. 1353 53 is the number if you want to get involved. It's a big final hour, Raymond. We'll continue with our close but no cigars. We had another one, Dave, out in the office here said, Jana Novotna. Remember, she nearly won that Wimbledon final.
Up 5-2 against Steffi, wasn't she?
Steffi Graf.
Yeah.
Steffi
Is that when Graf. She cried with the Queen Mother?
Not the Queen Mother. I think it was Princess Michael of Kent.
That's right. I think you're right, actually.
Cried on her shoulder, and yet she won it 4 years later. Yeah. And that's the late Jana Novotna. She passed away last year, didn't she? Sports update with Tanya very shortly. Our legend of the game, looking forward to it. I know you're hearing Monday to Friday, and you're getting his thoughts on all the latest things in the world of rugby league, but I just thought... We just thought, Laurie Daly, legendary career. We'll look forward to having a chat to him about that as well.
Bloody nice guy too, Laurie.
In the grand final of the world's nicest bloke.
Jeez, nice guy.
And I tell you what, you'd be surprised if he got result in that too. Hopefully we're going to have a chat inside the Panthers camp as well. We're keeping our tabs on that one after the outstanding performance against the Dragons last night. Now $6 equal favourites for the competition.
I reckon the Panthers should be favourites.
At home. They played at home.
So dominant. Has it been a more comprehensive win all season?
They played at home. Ben Hunt was injured.
Under strength Panthers side as well, though. Okay, it's only one game.
I was going to say I can hear your Penrith bias coming out in there, but what about your Dragons bias?
I'm just saying. Yeah.
Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au and, of course, Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. But time now to speak to our legend of the game, and he is a good friend of the radio station and the program, of course. It's a guy who was... made his way from the little country town of Junee and became a superstar across the world of rugby league. 23 times he played for New South Wales, 21 times for Australia, and captain those sides as well. It's great to have Laurie Daly on the line. G'day, Loz.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you guys?
Morning, Laurie.
Yeah, we're really well. Appreciate you doing this too, mate.
Not a problem at all.
Hey, the boy from Junee, I think, is it six or seven sisters you have?
No, I've got seven sisters.
Seven sisters.
I know each of their names. No, it's great. But no, living in the bush, obviously big family, not much happening. But yeah, no, seven sisters. The old man was a train driver. So he used to drive the XBT from, Junee to Melbourne or Junee to Sydney and back. And yeah, it was good. Great upbringing. I loved the town and still got plenty of good mates out there at the moment.
Yeah, good morning, Laurie. Thanks for joining us. As a boy growing up in the bush, were you just sports mad like most Australian kids are?
Yeah, played every sport you could think of, right? Played footy against Jimmy, played cricket, I played AFL, any sport that was going, I'd put my hand up to do. And the other reason I did that was to get out of school.
Mate, we can all understand that one. When did rugby league become Laurie Daly's destiny?
Oh, look, I think as a young boy, I used to just love the game. I was a mad Roosters supporter. Kevin Hastings was my favourite player.
Yeah. Horry
I loved watching him play.
Wow.
I just fell in love with it. My mum wouldn't allow me to play at the early stages. It was only the urging of my auntie next door who, coincidentally, they had a family of eight as well, but they had six boys and two girls. So I used to spend most of my time over there in their backyard.
Playing sport, yeah.
Playing sport, yeah. And she convinced mum to let me play, and then I just loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. I can remember going down to the local A grade and wanting to be ball boy down there for the 16s and 18s and 20s, I think. You got a Coke and a can of drink for the day to do the ball boying. But, just hanging around in the sheds and listening to people talk and, some of the older guys that were the heroes of the time. Then right from the word go, I just fell in love with it and loved it ever since.
Yeah, they were giants, weren't they? When you were a young kid, the people who played in the first grade for the Cootamundra Bulldogs were giants in your mind. Yeah, they were legends.
Yeah, they were the stars of the town.
Yeah.
In fact, I was up in Port Macquarie on Friday, and I ran into an old captain coach up there by the name of Pat Cudmore, who played for North Sydney Bears, but he was a captain coach for the Diesel. So I ran into him at a pub on Friday night and sort of discussing the old days. But yeah, so when I was growing up, he was sort of like the kingpin because he'd come from Sydney to play in Group 9, and that's what they did in those days.
Players
when they left the NRL, they'd go back to the bush and play. So that was a bit of a highlight as well.
And what about this for a stat, Raymond? From the under-7s to the under-15s, which was junior rugby league, every year in Laurie Daly's age group, they played Junee, Cootamundra in the grand final. Every year, Junee won. Mm. They had a couple of other good players in there besides Laurie, but you can imagine who was the main protagonist from a Cootamundra point of view. Why the Canberra Raiders, Laurie?
I think because they were closer to home. I was probably a bit of a mummy's boy and didn't want to leave too far away from Junee. I had a number of clubs that were interested, but there was a connection there with Junee because Don Ferner, the coach at the time, he actually coached Junee in 66. So he had a lot of people still in town that knew him, and obviously I was coming through the system and at Junee, and because of his connections back there in Junee, he found out about me and spoke to me and my parents about coming and joining the Canberra Raiders, and I just thought it was the perfect fit. It was close to home. It felt like a country sort of town, Canberra, and I got there and had sort of a great time. 87, we went on and made the grand final. We only played a couple of games that year, but to sit on the bench for the grand final as a 17-year-old was pretty special.
Yeah, something was special was building at Canberra at that time. You joined the club, wasn't it, Laurie? But actually, we were having a discussion earlier and about Nathan Cleary and when you're ready to play rep football, when you're ready to play first grade. You were playing first grade still as a teenager. Is it simply an individual thing, Laurie? Can you look at a footballer like a Nathan Cleary and a Laurie Daly and say, no, they can handle it?
Yeah, I think it is individual. I think some people can handle it, some people can't. I only go off my own experiences. I handled the NRL well, but the step up to Origin for me, I knew that while I thought I was ready for it, I wasn't. And the following year I was. It's funny how it sort of all comes together so quickly as a young guy. You mature. So, yeah, Nathan Cleary, now that he's played, you know, he's played close to 50 games, so that's nearly 2 years of the NRL. So to go to that next step, I think they're ready. But if they've only played about 20 games, you've got to be a very special player to handle that level. And, you know, Nathan Cleary has come back now from 2 weeks out with injury, and his performance last night was first class, and that's good for New South Wales because I think they've finally found a guy that can be in that position for a long period of time, just as Queensland have found a Thurston or a Cronk or a Lockyer, and they can build their team around, which is very important.
It's fascinating to say that 89 was the first time you were selected for New South Wales, and I think you've said previously that you didn't handle it. It was a star-studded Queensland side, and very tough, but by then, by 1990, you'd won a premiership. That premiership in 89, arguably the greatest grand final of all time. You were heavily involved with the head taped up and passing the ball to John Ferguson. What did that mean for you as an individual, and what did that mean for Canberra as a city to be the champions of the league, Laurie?
Yeah, it was very special. It's probably the greatest moment I've had in the game as far as the team scenario. You know, we weren't expected to win that grand final. Balmain had a lot of guys that had played for Australia and big names in the competition. You know, we were the first team outside of Sydney to make the grand final. We were the first team to come from an elimination final. And then to win it in extra time was just out of this world. And it was something that was very special to the club, but also to the community. Canberra, they used to say about Canberra didn't have a soul until the Raiders sort of arrived. And won that grand final in 89. But, you know, when we won the game and we went back to Canberra and we jumped on a bus, and just the amount of people that lined the roads and to get back to Queen Mary Club, there was just thousands and thousands of people everywhere, inside and outside the club. It just meant something to everyone down there. And, you know, a lot of people had put in a lot of hard work. They petitioned the New South Wales Rugby League to enter a side into the competition, and they finally got there. And, you know, they were getting flogged in their first couple of years, but then it started to turn and started to change, and they started to recruit players. And Mal obviously was the big attraction for a lot of people when they got Mal Meninga to the club. And it sort of went from there, and then we sort of went on and had some success. But 89 was certainly one of the greatest feelings I've ever had on the footy field.
Hey, Laurie, we better put this myth to bed once and for all. Did you drop and smash the 89?
Knock on, mate. Massive knock on.
It was a big knock on. What had happened was I was in this car, and I was sitting there, and I had the trophy with me, and the car started to slow down, so I released my grip on the trophy, thinking that we were going to stop. And as we're about to stop, the guy that was driving, he accelerated forward, and I was off balance, and I thought that I was going to fall out of the car. And I thought, well, I'll look like a goose if I fall out of the car. So I sort of braced and got myself sort of steady. But I forgot about the trophy. And the trophy is just falling out of the car and smacked the base and the shell. It's quite funny now when you ever look back at old stories, old photos, you can see the trophies actually wrapped in towels.
Yes.
So on the Monday, so this is the Monday morning, so we've got a street parade through through Queanbeyan and Canberra, and the trophies are held together by towels.
Well, you had to go back-to-back the next year, which, as we know now in modern footy, is so difficult to do. I think only the Brisbane Broncos, the only team since to go back-to-back, but you did go back-to-back in 1990, and you had the opportunity to put the right trophy back on for that street parade this time, Laurie.
Yeah, it was a completely different feel to 89. 1990 was more like just a relief because we were expected to win and we knew we could win and we wanted to win. But the feel, while it's always great, it was just completely different feel when we won it. It was, yep, this is what we expected to do. This is what we wanted to do. This is the job we were after and we've got it done. So, you know, a pat on the back, and while you're still happy, it just, it's a different how premierships have different feelings. And, you know, 94 was different as well. But, 1990 was probably the one where we sort of most relieved rather than any sort of that elation that we had the year before.
Mm. The young boy from Junee plays for Australia. Mm. It's at Pioneer Oval at Parks, the first time you do it in 1990, Laurie. You have a good win over France. You have a shot at goal that's replayed a lot that I'm sure you prefer to forget. What did it mean for you, and what did it mean for all those people in your life that made it possible?
Yeah, I think when you reach major milestones like that, you have to take the time to reflect on the people that have helped get you where you are. For me, it was, growing up in Junee, I never, ever thought that I would have the opportunity to play in the NRL and never dreamed about, I did dream about it, playing for Australia, but never thought that would be possible given, you're coming from a little tiny town in the bush. So it was funny, you're sitting there, you're looking at the jersey and you just reflect back on all those moments, but the hard work that you've put in, but also the people that have helped you get to where you got to, people around town. I remember going away on footy trips, whether it was playing for Riverina or Country, and you had to sell raffle tickets. People in the community would support and put money behind it to get you away to wherever you needed to go to. Mm. So, the town and the community play a big part. Your friends, your relatives, your mum and dad, your sisters. You think back and reflect on how excited they would be for you as well.
Yeah.
And how much they mean to you and how much help they've put in to get you to where you want to go.
Yeah, so many sacrifices that family make.
But
On that point, Laurie, given you were so young and you're breaking into these superstar teams, into that great Canberra side, into the New South Wales team, then playing in the Australian team, and you're playing alongside some of the all-time legends of the sport, was it a youthful teenage, early 20 Laurie Daly ever overawed?
No, I never thought overawed. The only time I was ever overawed, I think, was probably my first Origin game up there in Queensland. It was funny, you run out there and all of a sudden you look up and you see, Wally Lewis and you see a Mal Meninga. And then I remember sort of running out and thinking, am I supposed to be here? Like I was, 19 and, a few first grade games under my belt and the intensity of the atmosphere up there, it was just sort of surreal.
Mm.
And I could sort of always remember, like in the Daly household, Origin time, I used to get nerves as a schoolboy.
Yeah.
So the day of the game. So all I thought about on an Origin morning was going to school. Couldn't wait to get home from school. But I'd be thinking about the Origin game all day.
Yeah.
And thinking about how we're going to go and coming home and kicking the footy around and then just pacing myself in front of the TV and getting upset when we lost and thinking that Brett Kenny got man of the match over Wally Lewis. Why did Wally get the man of the match? And that was me as a kid. And it's funny, when I ran out there, that was one of the flashbacks I had. I was like, wow. And it was just one of those moments where I'll always remember it.
Mm.
And that probably confirmed to me I wasn't ready for it. It just sort of hit me. But after that game and after that series in particular, I thought if I ever got another opportunity, I'd never let anyone down because I felt like, I didn't actually produce my best and I was a little bit overawed and let a lot of people down. So I sort of trained hard and knuckled down and always thought if I get another opportunity, I'm going to try and nail it.
Mm. Well, you got plenty more opportunities, but what was interesting, when you were only 22 years of age, Phil Gould came in as coach and he said, right, I've got a captain and his name's Laurie Daly. There are a number of other people who are captain of their club sides. What do you think it was that Gus saw in you, and you go on there to win three straight series for New South Wales, 92, 93, 94?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, Jimmy. I think the thing that I sort of tried to sort of... I was a player that wanted to inspire. So I wanted to inspire people with my performance and inspire them, I suppose, with that will to win and never give up. And at the time, I think that was something that New South Wales, or Gus in particular, was looking for, someone to be able to get the best out in their players. And I sort of developed my leadership skills over time, but I think that was probably one of the strengths of my game, was to be able to, you know, if something needed to be done, I'd do it. You know, it's amazing, you know, when you have that C next to your name, you feel like you have to do something. Mm. So if a game, you know, was in the balance, I'd feel like I was the one that needed to turn the game. Mm. Or if, you know, if we needed an injection of enthusiasm, I needed to produce something to get the other people to feel as though they're a part of it and get that energy back in the team. So whether that'd be through trying to pull off a big hit or carrying the ball or like on an early tackle coming off your own try line or whatever it may be, I always look to try and produce the big play when I felt it was needed, just to try and inspire everyone else. And that's the way I sort of handled the captaincy. I took it upon myself to, you know, get the feel of the game. If something needed to be done, don't ask anyone else to do it. You do it yourself.
Yeah, Laurie, time's our enemy, as always, with these legend segments. We could talk for hours. A couple of things. Well, one thing I wanted to ask you. You had the ability, I think, to win the big moments, and your career's littered with extraordinary successes. You mentioned that initial 89 grand final, but through the 90s, there was another grand final win with Canberra. There was all the great Kangaroo tours, the Origin wins. What was the greatest moment in your playing career?
Yeah, I think as a team, it was the 89 grand final. I just hard to go past the elation after that game. It was just completely different to any other feeling I've had after a game of football. On a selfish point of view, it was probably captaining Australia.
Yeah.
That was probably the greatest honour that anyone can get individually. So to be able to captain Australia I think I was 22 when I captained Australia. So for me to be able to captain my state and country was a massive thrill and a massive honour, as well as winning that 89 grand final.
We'd love to talk Kangaroo tours and Super League and all those things.
There's plenty in the career, Jimmy.
Oh, mate.
We're part two.
Hey, no, he was worried about it being too early and he misses his sleep in. So we can't do that.
You know how it feels, mate.
Oh, absolutely.
You can.
A rare Sunday off, Laurie. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a bit of work this afternoon.
Oh, he's working with you, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the way.
We'll look forward to that. Hey, Loz, it's been fantastic. And got to remind everyone too, TK and Laurie back at 5:30 tomorrow morning for the Big Sports Breakfast. Good on you, mate. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having us on. See you, Ray.
See you, Laurie.
Laurie Daly, grand finalist in World's Best Bloke.
The surface here, James. Well,
I know.
Got to have
the Kangaroo Tours, 90 and 94. Remember when
he hit
his sprinkler?
Oh, he hit his knee
on the sprinkler at Elland Road.
That's the final test.
Yeah.
And I want to ask him about his time as New South Wales coach as well. And whether he thinks if he have one more year, because this is the year when everyone expects New South Wales to win.
Of course.
You feel sorry for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we get him back on for part two down the track?
1353-53. Might need an appearance, please. 1353-53, the Apple number. We'll take a break and we'll be back with a sports update.
G'day guys, Noel Vee here. Sutton City's letting every ABN holder take more than they give this end of financial year on the tough new Holden Colorado pickup. Priced from just $39,990 drive away with a 5-year warranty and roadside assist, plus an amazingly low 3.99% per annum finance rate for ABN holders. Check them out online at suttoncityholden.com.au or drop by 2 Link Road, Zetland, and ask, what about me?
MD 14314. Mum, do you know what 4K, UHD and HDR stand for?
Yes. Do you know what BLGC stands for?
Big Lionel's Golf Club.
Oh, I knew it.
Mum, it stands for Bingley Gift Card.
Thank you.
Get a bonus 10% Bingley gift card when you buy a new 4K TV 55 inches and above at Bingley.
He makes a 4K UHD even better.
Come in ASAP.
BG Lionel.
A 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K TV 55 inches and above at Bingley. Conditions apply.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
A full house at Penrith Stadium last night for the 1 versus 2 NRL extravaganza. Unfortunately, didn't live up to expectations, with the Panthers so dominant in defence and attack, beating St George Illawarra 28-2. The win puts them on top with the Dragons on 18 points. A big win for Souths over the Warriors, 30-10 in Auckland. It's the Rabbitohs' 6th win from 7 matches and puts them in 3rd spot. And the Roosters beat the Gold Coast 34-14. Today, Newcastle and Cronulla play in Newcastle and the West Tigers and Canterbury at 8NZ. Sydney copped a scare, holding on to beat Brisbane 67-49 in the AFL game at the Gabba. It was the Swans' 11th straight win over the Lions. While GWS suffered its 4th straight loss after going down to Essendon by 35 at Spotless, and Geelong 73 beat Carlton 45. The Waratahs missed out on back-to-back wins, going down to the Chiefs 39-27 in the Super Rugby game in Hamilton. It was a fast, high-quality game with little separating the two teams. In other results, the Jaguars 29 over the Sharks 13, Rebels 40, the Sunwolves 13, Highlanders 18 over the Reds 15. Overnight, the Brumbies had a win 38-28 over the Bulls, and the Lions 26 beat the Stormers 23. Australia has a contingent of 12 in this year's French Tennis Open, which starts tonight in Paris. However, that's certain to drop to at least 11 after the first round, with Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios playing each other tomorrow night. Australia's Ayla Tomljanovic is the only Australian in action tonight. She takes on Elena Svitolina. Rafael Nadal is the men's top seed and Simona Halep the women's. Daniel Ricciardo has pole for the Monaco Formula One Grand Prix after dominating qualifying. Sebastian Vettel will start from 2 and Lewis Hamilton from 3. Australian Horse Maritime is Australia's lone representative in one of the world's most famous harness races, the Elite Lop in Sweden. It's an invitational race where 16 horses compete in 2 different heats. The top 4 from each heat meet in the final. That final called by our very own Anthony Manton and is scheduled for around 1:30 this morning. Tomorrow morning, in fact. Game 6 in the NBA playoffs this morning between Houston and Golden State. Rockets star guard Chris Paul is out of the match with a hamstring strain. Houston lead the series 3-2. Meantime, American import forward David Weir is the latest addition to the Sydney Kings NBL roster, signing for 2 years. Real Madrid are the champions of Europe for the 3rd straight year, defeating Liverpool in the Champions League final 3-1 this morning in Kiev. Meantime, a raucous crowd of almost 86,000 were on hand to see Fulham beat Aston Villa 1-0 in the Championship playoff final at Wembley overnight, thus winning promotion to next season's highly lucrative English Premier League. And lucrative, I'm not kidding when I mention that word, they will receive, or the club will receive, almost $282 million Australian dollars in revenue, and that's spread over 3 years. And if they survive and go through another year, that could go up to £280 million, which is almost half a billion Australian dollars. Extraordinary. Close but no cigar. One for you. Over 1,000 or around 1,000 Liverpool supporters who had booked tickets to go to the final missed out because their flights were cancelled. 3 flights were cancelled because the airport didn't have sufficient landing slots.
Oh, my goodness.
Ukraine, was it?
Yeah, in the Ukraine. And the mayor of Liverpool, Joe Anderson, and the Kiev mayor, who is former boxer.
Oh, Klitschko.
Vitaly Klitschko.
Yeah. Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, he's the mayor. Didn't you say last night that he's very popular and there is a chance that he could run for Putin? Yeah. Mm. But they worked really hard to try and find a solution, but one didn't come, unfortunately.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
is it better or worse that they lost? Would you prefer them to win and not get there, or...?
I think you'd prefer a win, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no matter what. They did get their money back, but, I mean, for some of these people did say this was their trip of a lifetime.
Yes, it would be.
It would be, and they've missed out. And just quickly, boys, a documentary soon to air in the UK will allege that an offer was made to fix an England test match later this year.
Mm.
That game between Sri Lanka and England in Gaul in November. It's from Al Jazeera TV, and it's a documentary that will show a groundsman telling an undercover reporter that the outcome of the game could be influenced, alleging that the pitch can be doctored so that a draw is impossible.
So you bet against the draw.
So you just get a result.
You just bet a result either, and you put...
And you can't lose.
And how can easily that can be done if you can get to... You don't need a player involved.
That's exactly right. Really interesting.
When's that coming out?
In November.
Wow. And no, the actual documentary?
I'm not sure. It's in the next week or so. And I know Anthony Griffin's there, but I must tell you this. On the same theme, three players have been suspended by the World Professional Billiards and Snooker Association over match-fixing allegations as well. So it does not discriminate, does it?
Don't think that black.
Exactly. All forms of the game. Thank you, Tan. Appreciate that. 1353-53, the open line number.
Struggling to get back on side here, the Dragons. They're booing for a penalty. They may not need it. Cleary! Nathan Cleary says to Brad Fittler, I am ready. First try of the night goes to the 20-year-old. And that was sensational.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show. Well, before a sellout crowd at Panthers Stadium last night, I think the Penrith Panthers put the most complete performance we've seen so far in this NRL season, taking St George Illawarra to the cleaners 28-2. Let's see what their coach, Anthony Griffin, made of that performance. Anthony, good morning. And is that a fair description of how Panthers played last night? It was a complete performance.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Yeah, it was certainly our best performance for the year. And it was just really pleasing, for the players and everyone involved in the club. On a big night for us to sell out at home against the number one team.
And that makes a difference, doesn't it? As much as people think, oh, they're professional athletes, Anthony, and they should respond this way anyway, when you get a home ground and you know that all the fans have come to watch you play, I'm sure the players get a lift from that. Do you get a sense of that?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy. You can feel a building all week. There was a lot of media and build-up to the game for a number of reasons, 1v2 and, Origin spots up for grabs. But for us, we've been, plugging away really well, and the silver came tonight. It's time for us. We've been building some momentum, and it was a really good opportunity for us to just test ourselves out against St. George. And I think everyone in the community, the Penrith area, was on board with that, and it just built into a really good night.
Yeah, it certainly did for Panther fans. So many highlights out of the game, Anthony, and it's probably impossible to pick one, but if I could focus on the line speed in defence, it's been a feature of the Panthers all season, but last night you really suffocated the St George attack.
Yeah, it's something we've been building, over the last few weeks, and our forwards in particular have done a great job. They've been wanting to test themselves against the pack every week, and last night against St George, a great pack, it was always going to be a pretty ferocious battle in the middle there. And I thought the last couple of weeks against West and Dragons at home, obviously our defence has been the feature. We haven't conceded a point at home in the last 2 weeks.
Mm. No, Anthony, that's coaching. Unless the West Tigers keep the Bulldogs to nil today, you will have the best defence in the league. Now, this is the side last year that had the most missed tackles in the league. You bought the player who has missed more tackles in the NRL than any other player, and yet now you have the best defence in the league. How much focus pre-season, how much focus during the course of a week is on defence? Because it's clear that it must be a priority for Penrith.
Uh, it it's a balance too, Jimmy. As you know, if you get your attack right and you calm and attack, it does make you defend better. And Nathan and Jimmy Maloney have given us great control over the last couple of weeks. So when everyone's on board and the attacking plan's simple and they know where we're going to kick to at the end of our sets and all those things, it just helps you get into a rhythm in defence. But certainly we concentrate hard on both areas. We're just happy with the way things are going at the moment, and obviously defence is going well for us.
Anthony, the club has coped so well with so many injuries over the last 6 to 8 weeks, and there's still some of your top players on the sidelines, and now you're about to emerge in this Origin period where it's almost certain the Panthers will have a number of players in the Origin's teams. Have you sort of thought about how you're going to approach the next 6 to 8 week period again?
Yeah, we've sat back and had a look at that, obviously, and we'll know more tonight or tomorrow when we know exactly who's in. But the one thing that's been a feature for us, over the last few years is whenever we've given, people opportunity, particularly our young players coming through, they've always taken it with both hands and done their job. And that'll be the same over the next 4 to 6 weeks. As I said before, we've already had 5 debutants this year, so the fact that guys like Luai and Jack Etherington and those guys have already come in and tasted success at the NRL level with us, that's going to help us just test our depth again in the Origin period. But it's a really proud thing for us when we see someone come in and make their debut, or guys like Isaiah Yeo and Corey Arawira have played centre during this period as well. We've got guys that can play in different positions. That's really built a lot of internal belief and given us a bit of depth in our squad.
I've got 6 asterisks next to players who could / should play Origin. How many do you think should?
I think they all should. whoever's picked, I know, do a great job for New South Wales. But obviously our halves can't do any more than what they've been doing. Peachy's been mentioned on the bench. You do a great job there, Gillard. And Merrin up front, the last few weeks, I think they've really been dominant in those positions. So, from our end, obviously, it'll be a disruption from our week-to-week period over the next 6 weeks, but you need Origin players in your team to be serious contenders for the finals as well. So, if we can get 4 or, a handful of players in there and have a good Origin series, in the short term, it'll be disruptive, but it'll help us at the back end of the year.
Yeah, good point, Anthony. Anthony, just quickly for our listeners, Peter Wallace, Josh Mansour, Waka Blake, any update on their injuries and when they may return?
Yeah, they're all progressing well. We'll have a look at Pete after the bye. They get a break.
Yep.
And his shoulder injuries, he did a bit of contact on Thursday, or did a bit of training with the team on Thursday. Wonga Blake is getting closer. Probably no more this week, but I spoke to him yesterday in our physios, and he had a really good run on the field on Friday.
It's encouraging, yeah.
Josh Mansour, actually, we put him in to get a little touch-up to his ankle while he's out with the cheekbone. Which won't affect his return time. It'll actually, help his performance. He's had a little bit of fragment bone in his ankle, so he just got that done last week, but we're still looking at him around, I think it's around 18, 19.
Okay.
Hey, Anthony, just interested in what your thoughts are on, the game overall has been talking a lot about the impact of referees and the penalties. 10-8, the penalty count against you last night, but the interesting thing is that you both had an interchange up your sleeve that you didn't use, so... are we seeing enough fatigue in the game? How would you go about making sure that we get tired players out there and perhaps open the game up a little more?
That's a good question, Jimmy. The interchange at the moment, with the way the game's going, I mean, not just the officiating, but the time off and, you know, for kicks and, you know, now we got people going to the sin bin, every team, you know, although last night we didn't, but most games you can normally get through, you know, with six interchanges. The last couple you make are normally incidental ones. In fact, like you said, we kept one up our sleeve last night. On the refereeing, I thought they were pretty good last night. I was surprised to see there was 18 penalties in the game. It didn't feel like that. It felt like a lot more of a traditional, you know, two games, two teams just sorting it out themselves with a, you know, with a lot of ball in play, which is what I think we need in the game. And the more ball in play that you have, obviously, the less, you know, impact constantly, which causes a lot of injuries when the players are fresh and they're coming off set starts all the time. Like if you get 25 penalties a game, that's one every 3.5 minutes or 4 minutes, and they're coming off set starts all the game with you know, taps and 30-second spells, and it just builds the impact of the collision. So I'd like to see less penalties. I mean, I'm not criticising the referees, but if you can, you know, get a game down to around 10 or 12 penalties and let the team sort it out themselves through having to play football under fatigue, I think it'll be a better product. And you can then drag the interchange down to six, which will, I think, increase the attractiveness of the football again. You know, the crowd wants to see, like last night, a real arm wrestle again. Teams trying to, you know, beat each other both defensively and offensively, not getting artificial field position because, you know, there's 25 penalties in the game. So, I'd like to see less penalties, less interchanges. I think it'd really increase the value of our product.
Well said, Anthony. I think a lot of league fans would love and hung on every word you just said then. Anthony, look, thanks for joining us this morning. A terrific effort by the Panthers last night. A great start to the season. You've got a bye coming up, and really appreciate you joining us on a Sunday morning.
No worries, guys. Anytime.
Thanks so much, Anthony.
There he is, Anthony Griffin.
Right.
See you, mate.
He is coach of the
side. You love listening to him talk.
He leads the competition.
He's such a deep thinker of the game, and he brings up so many salient points, and listeners to the show would have absolutely hung on every word then, wouldn't they?
Totally agree. 1353 53, open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Mum, do you know what 4K, UHD and HDR stand for?
Yes. Do you know what BLGC stands for?
Big Lionel's Golf Club.
Oh, I knew it.
Mum, it stands for Bingley Gift Card.
Thank you.
Get a bonus 10% Bingley gift card when you buy a new 4K TV 55 inches and above at Bingley.
He makes a 4K UHD even better.
Come in ASAP.
BG Lionel.
A 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K TV 55 inches and above at Bingley. Conditions apply.
Penrith Mazda, awarded Mazda Master Dealer in 2017, where you're sure to get the best deal during their end of financial year clearance. With over 300 cars in stock and more than 50 utes in the ute centre, you're spoiled for choice, James Smith. The end of financial year clearance at Penrith Mazda, your family-owned and operated Mazda dealer, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4 MD18808.
Did you know Germany was home to the world-famous composer Beethoven?
Did you know it's home for the world-famous brand Miele?
Did you know Bingley is famous for Miele deals?
Yes.
Right now, save up to 15% on our Miele cooking and laundry packages at Bingley.
15%?
Yes, save up to 15% with our Miele packages at Bingley.
This will become famous.
Catch our latest Miele offers and check out the Miele Bingley Specialist Store at 90 Victoria Road, Des Moines.
See in store or bingley.com.au for details. We'll be right back.
G'day guys, Noel V here. Sutton City's letting every ABN holder take more than they give this end of financial year on the tough new Holden Colorado pickup. Priced from just $39,990 drive away with a 5-year warranty and roadside assist, plus an amazingly low 3.99% per annum finance rate for ABN Holden. Check them out online at suttoncityholden.com.au or drop by 2 Link Road, Zetland, and ask, what about me?
MD14314.
Driven down, she's taken it, and she's done it. She's done it for a second time. Is she going to celebrate the first time just as much as the first time? No, she just puts the bat up and the leap for Elise Perry.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Time now to talk to our Victorian listener and get an update on what his thoughts are on the tab.com.au. Trent Lanscale joins us on the line. G'day, Trent.
Good morning to you, fellas, and lovely to hear that Hawthorn made its way into the quiz as well.
Oh, yeah. Were the not-so-mighty Flying Hawthorn? Brisbane beat them last week. Gee, that gave me a lot of pleasure. I don't know why. However, I'm sure it did.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Newcastle $2.50, Cronulla $1.55.
That is right. So even though Newcastle have lost three in a row and Cronulla are victorious in their last five, any feeling, guys, that the Knights perhaps can get a long-awaited win at home today?
Ray's got that feeling.
No Fafita, big out, $2.50. Good odds, the Knights. Go the Knights.
And the line is 5.5 there, fellas. So that's the 2 o'clock game at McDonald at Jones Home Stadium. And then the 4:10 clash at ANZ Stadium. You've got West Tigers $1.60 and Canterbury $2.40. The line is 3.5. Is there any way you could tip with confidence in this game between the co-tenants?
I think the Tigers win it pretty well.
And there's a few 13+. Give me at the $3.20.
No, I can't get me 13+. I'd get them -3.5.
Okay, so just take that. Don't worry about the margin. Just as long as they win by a try, that'll do.
Yes, that's exactly right. Now, the not-so-mighty Flying Hawthorn, $2.30 outsiders to the West Coast. Where's this being played? Oh, Etihad. If it was at the MCG, they'd lose West Coast, wouldn't they?
It would be a different story, yes, but it's just part of the deal that they've got to play a game at Etihad Stadium. So crossover fellas at about 1:10, the first bounce, but hopeful more than anything, especially the way West Coast are playing. The other two games this afternoon, 3:20 at Traeger Park in Alice Springs. We have Melbourne $1.70 and Adelaide $2.20. The line is 4.5. Melbourne in great form at the moment. They haven't beaten too many good teams, but they have a little less injuries than Adelaide. And then 4:40 at Optus Stadium, Fremantle $1.85 and North Melbourne $2. Just purely because it is over across in the West, fellas, I'd say Fremantle might be just a touch too good for North Melbourne. If it was in Melbourne at the MCG, it'd be completely different odds, but I think the Dockers will just do enough over the Kangaroos.
Yep. And the NBA finals continue this morning, Trent.
Well, they do. Right now, we're getting to a really interesting point. Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. Now, the Golden State Warriors, they need to win to force a Game 7, which would be Tuesday morning our time. Now, $1.12 to do so against the Houston Rockets at $6.50. They will be without Chris Paul, who's been fantastic during these conference finals. The line is 12.5, so you're thinking that Golden State should, at home, be too good, especially with Houston down a star, and then gets to Game 7 in Houston on Tuesday, and who knows. And, of course, tomorrow morning, fellas, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Wow. A little
snippet before with LeBron James. Mm. Can a road team finally win? It's been all home teams in the first 6 games. Boston at home $1.70 and Cleveland $2.15. That'll be 10:30 tomorrow morning, so it should be fantastic there. I will say, fellas, preempting the result of today's game, that the last time that both the conference finals in the NBA went to 7 games was back in 1979.
Wow.
Oh, gee.
So you have all those series. They go 5 games, 6 games, but never have conference finals both gone to 7. Well, since 1979. And just obviously tonight, French Open begins. Nadal's $1.40 to win the men. Simona Halep and Helena Svitolina, $6 equal favourites for the women. And good luck to Daniel Ricciardo. He's on pole for the Monaco Grand Prix, and he's $1.35 to win. That'll start just after 11 o'clock. So there's a smorgasbord, fellas. You can check out the markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
I don't care what people say about you, Trent. That's an outstanding job. Well done.
Thank you, Jimmy. Particularly, you're the one that usually says it.
Good on you, Trent. Good on you, Trent.
That's actually a very good point, too. There he is, Trent Lanscar from
powerthis.com.au.
Oh, he's bouncing around everywhere, isn't he? Trent down there in his suit from yesterday, no doubt. 1353 is the open line number. Time now to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. G'day, Scotty.
Good morning, boys.
Morning, Scotty.
How are you today?
Yeah, tell me. We're very well. Tell me, how did we go with our little car last week?
No good last week, but I'm going to make amends this week.
Okay, what have you got for us?
The
listeners.
This one is a great little automatic hatch for the listeners. It's another perfect first car or a great little run around. This is a 2011 automatic Nissan Micra 5-door hatch. Now, this car has only travelled 36,000 kilometres, so it's going to be one very reliable little car. The Nissan Micra can run on the smell of an oily rag, and it has a sensational safety rating because it comes with ABS brakes, brake assist, traction control, vehicle stability control, and 6 airbags. This is one very safe, extremely economical, ultra-reliable, and very low-kilometre hatch, and it's on sale today for the listeners at just $6,990. So this is a 2011 36,000-kilometre automatic 5-door hatch, and it's just $6,990. You just can't buy small autos in this condition for this price. So don't miss out. Go to the website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au. You won't find a car like this anywhere for $6,990. So don't miss this one.
Yeah, that won't last, Scotty. And you've got some great finance packages available too, mate.
We certainly do. If you need finance for this car or any of our cars, we've got great packages available. We have access to a lot of lenders, and this allows us to get the best possible rates, but also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, then go to our website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963 750 824, and let us, that'll help you get driving a car today.
Rugby league at Ringrose Park today. Now, Para Eels Jersey flag side's going to be there, so no concern about only getting one game of footy at the footy. Up against the Bears in both grades, mate.
Yeah, we are. We've got the Jersey flag side there kicking off at 1 p.m. And then the Wenny ISP side, they play the Bears at 3. And Wenny had a good roll going back a few weeks ago, but they need to get winning again. So the boys are pumped up and ready to get back into that top 8. And if you can't get down to Wenny, then see if you can make your way down to HE Labour Fields at Blacktown and watch the Wenny Sydney Shield and Ron Massey Cup sides. They'll both annihilate the Blacktown workers. So there'll be a lot of footy, a lot of points scored down there at HE Labour today. We're going to have two big wins there, and hopefully Para and the ISP have two big wins at Ringrose.
I love the way you've declared them. How good's that? Good on you, Scotty. Well, mate, we've got to sell this Nissan Micra, all right? We've got to make sure we get our strike rate back up there.
This will be a record, boys. I'm sure the phone's ringing already.
Outstanding.
All right, we'll give the number again, 9637 5024. If it's engaged, wait 3 minutes and try back then. 9637 5024. Good on you, Scotty. We'll speak next week.
Thanks, boys, and have a great day.
Yeah, you too. If you want to check them out online, fosterscqualitycars.com.au, fosterscqualitycars.com.au. Now, here's a breakthrough, because Kathy, our great friend from Collector, on Twitter, has said, "Morning, boys, found some puffed wheat at Coles. Attached is the sugar content, so Ray can compare with the Woolies one." Wow, Raymond.
Honey puff wheat from Coles.
What have you had?
Just the puff wheat, but the touch of honey in them from Woolies, or home brand.
I love the way you look to Tanya, who, as we know, is the grocery shopper in your family after those revelations came out a couple of months ago when you sent her, basically ordered her down to the... You ordered her on air too, by the way.
Highly embarrassed, and I did apologise off air. I didn't mean it to come across that way. But no, Tanya did actually find those honey puff wheat at Woolies, right. But look at this. Kathy's even sent a picture.
And there's some sort of speculation. Apart from the lawn, what do you do at home? I mean, we know you do the lawn, but...
I'm a neat freak.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
I'm always picking up after Tanya. She and a good one.
Oh, now she's messy. Now she's messy around the house. You said I'm always picking up after Tanya.
I hadn't quite finished. What I was going to say was that I'm putting things away, and then she can't find them. So it's where you put this?
That's the oldest trick in the book.
No, it's true.
Unpack the dishwasher, put them all in the wrong spot, and then they say, oh, look, I'll do it in future.
No,
you don't know where they go.
Wiping up.
You're too smart, Ray Thomas.
You're hammering me,
James. Well, fair dinkum. Justin via Twitter has said, seeing as you've got Loz on, you might as well bring up Benny's field goal. Yeah, close but no cigar. This one's from Brett Kubel. BK says, close but no cigar. Has anyone mentioned Greg Norman, 1996 US Masters? Or is it still too soon, too raw, too painful? Yeah, no, good. Another couple of years, Brett.
Here's one from Jeff from Oberon, too. Two memorable cases of close but no cigar for me was Glenn Seaton at Bathurst in 1995. I can't recall that. But Pat Rafter at Wimbledon in 2000 and 2001.
Oh.
Pistol Pete Sampras, too good in 2000. And Goran Ivanisevic beat him in 2001.
On the Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
On the Monday.
Bad light stop play or something.
Yeah, it was on the Monday. It was a five-setter, too, I think. Mm. That was a five-setter. Good nomination. We've got our prize here. We're going to get our prize here. We've got a double... went to Sam, who brought up Mark Webber.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, brought up Mark Webber as a...
The year he won four